Well, hello and welcome back to the Since You Reformed podcast. Pastor Zach here with you. And this week we're continuing our series in Christian hospitality, and we're going to stick in the Old Testament scriptures for just this one more week. And I want to reflect upon a few of the ungodly examples of lack of hospitality within the Old Testament text in order to balance out what we've seen thus far in terms of God's hospitality toward us, and then the examples of godly hospitality that we considered in our previous episode. And so what I want to do here is to direct our attention to a few places that kind of show that while hospitality is a life-giving practice that welcomes Christ into one's home and extends care to Christ and receives the gifts of Christ, that we see within the lack of hospitality, the inverse of that, that it becomes a context in which judgment and divine judgment is actually received instead. And so the first place to turn is the city of Sodom in Genesis 19. We were there in our previous episode as we thought about Lot and his extension of hospitality to the two angels that he, unaware, welcomed into his home. He didn't know that they were angels, but he did welcome God's messengers there and sought to protect them. And he fed them, washed their feet, and cared for them. And he found the blessing of life as he did so. But what we see then with the people of Sodom is really the exact opposite. They refused to be hospitable toward the two men who came under Lot's roof. Indeed, they would not even let them remain inside their town without first violating them and then trying to presumably kill them in the end. And so what we see within within this is that Genesis 19, verse 4, but before they, the two men, lay down to go to sleep, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." And so this is an effort to violate them. When we think about hospitality, we should note the obvious here, that someone who is the giver of hospitality is in a position where they have resources. They have a position of some sort of strength. They have a position where they have, you know, shelter, food, something like that. They have space to extend, whereas the recipient of hospitality is oftentimes in a vulnerable position. They're oftentimes displaced from their home. They are oftentimes lacking in the food and shelter department. And so what we see here then is that the Lot was very willing to extend these resources and his strength to the vulnerable, whereas the people, the men of Sodom, the other men who lived in Sodom and their sons, they wanted to use their power to attack the vulnerable, not to serve them and bless them, but rather to attack them and to abuse them selfishly. And we know then what happened in the city of Sodom. They faced the day of the Lord. They faced death and received it the very next day. We have a similar sort of example then in Judges 19. I've mentioned in the previous episode that there's sort of a recapitulation thing, a sort of reenactment thing that can happen, like, for example, Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, and then the Shunammite woman and Elisha. Those were stories back to back that kind of echo one another. Well, there's a story that echoes Sodom. And in Judges 19, it's a Jewish city that then begins to behave like the men of Sodom. You see, a Levite and then his concubine entered into this Jewish city, and they were refused hospitality. They were staying in the city square. But thankfully, an old man came by, and he gave them welcome into his home, sort of like how Lot did. The Jewish men then tried to attack the Levite. They wanted to bring him down. They did not want him in their town. They did not want to extend hospitality to him and to his concubine. And so then what happened was the concubine was sent out to them to appease them, they not only abused her, but then they killed her. Her body was then shockingly divided into 12 pieces, and then those 12 pieces of her corpse were sent out to the 12 tribes of Israel as a witness to them that the day of the Lord was coming upon them, because such a thing happened within the land of Israel. So again, this ungodly example of this lack of hospitality then is, it threatens death upon those who refuse to welcome as God has welcomed us. And a final example I'd like to share with you today is from 1 Samuel chapter 25. And in 1 Samuel 25, we have David, who is the king in waiting. Samuel has just died, and he is in the place called Carmel. And while he's in Carmel, he and his soldiers guarded the flocks of a man named Nabal. Nabal's sheep shearers are in the wilderness. They're shearing the sheep. And this is in preparation then for an annual festival that would happen after the sheep were sheared. And David protected them. He provided for them. And so then in response, when the sheep shearers went back and when they were sharing their all the wool with Nabal and they were preparing for the great feast that he would then hold for himself, for his family, for his sheep shearers, David then sought favor from Nabal, a sort of a reciprocation, because they cared for Nabal's shepherds and sheep shearers. Well, then David understandably sought then favor from Nabal to return the favor, you could say. But Nabal wickedly refused David and even said this: "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to the men who come from I do not know where?" So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." Well, David then rode out to bring judgments upon Nabal, who refused to welcome him, the Lord's anointed. But then the story has a remarkable twist to it, where Nabal's wife, Abigail, who is established early in the story as a discerning and beautiful woman, 1 Samuel 25, verse 3, who was the contrast to Nabal, who is described as a wicked man, she acted very quickly and shrewdly by baking many loaves of bread for David, by preparing much wine and raisins and cakes, and by preparing 5 sheep to give them a feast. She sent all this great feast out to David to turn aside his wrath. And she also confessed Nabal's sins that she had committed toward David, who's God's anointed king. And so then David's wrath was averted. He was then able to feast with his warriors. And but then shortly afterward, the Lord brought wrath down upon Nabal and killed him shortly after this entire episode came to a close. But so we see here within these examples of the refusal to extend hospitality, you see that these individuals are in these towns were not like God. And so death was brought upon them because they refused that life-giving and life-affirming practice of hospitality. And so I just wanted to bring these out for us as we prepare to enter into the New Testament scriptures in the upcoming weeks and to think a bit more practically about how we then can extend hospitality, trying to set up exactly that this is very much a practice that the biblical text from the beginning in Genesis to the very end, Revelation. This is a practice that is central to the biblical story, central to how God interacts with his people, and that therefore this should be central to how Christians then conduct their lives, and priority should be given to this life-giving, life-affirming practice of Christian hospitality. So until next week, until our next episode, this is Pastor Zach, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Cincy Reformed Podcast. I pray this has been a blessing and encouragement to you, and I look forward to you joining us in future episodes as we continue to think about Christian hospitality. Thanks. Bye-bye.